Today's daf is Kuf Gimel. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Bet Amabet. We're going to go back to the beginning of this whole section, which was we're going to have a series of potential kavachomers, knock them out with kavachomers, and in the end, we're going to bring a pasuk to prove it, okay? And this is all a discussion that Rava says, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, darshan this in the bathroom. In other words, he came up with this conversation in the bathroom. And it was all to prove how we know that a tful yom can't eat the mincha, can't eat the chatat, can't eat the chazeh v'shok of the shlamim. Okay, a kohen tful yom, not only can't he eat it, but he can't get a portion of it. Okay, I was actually thinking about it, that his discussion back and forth, okay, you know, I'll say it after we read the first one again, okay? So, we're starting from the first white line. Okay, batful yom va'amar tein li mimincha v'ochal. Right, I want to have a portion of the mincha so I can eat it. Amar lo, so the other kohen, and here's where I want to kick in. The other kohen basically says to him, he uses the lashon dichiticha. I can push you off. I was almost thinking it sounds like dine nizakin or nizikin, like in the sense of property. No, it's mine. You can't have my portion, right? It's like hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya, you know? And then I have the koch to push you off. You know, this is mine. I get to keep my portion. So anyway, if you're missing nizikin, you know, we have a little bit of this in it. Or maybe I'm just projecting my... Batful yom v'amar, tein li mimincha v'ochal. I want my portion of the mincha. Amar lo, umayim b'makom she'ipak kochacha b'chatatcha, dichiticha mechatat Yisrael. In a case where you're in a position of strength, in the place of the chatat, not that you're tamei, but you as a kohen, if you eat your own, you bring your own chatat, you can eat your chatat. Now, obviously, when he's tamei, he can't. But he's saying that conceptually with the bichlal and the issue of chatat, you have a position of strength, and yet, I can tell you, you can't eat chatat Yisrael because you're tamei. Therefore, makom shehu rak kochacha v'minchatcha, in a mincha, you're in a position of weakness because you can't, if you were to bring your own mincha, you wouldn't be allowed to eat anything because the whole thing gets burnt. Ein odin sha'adi chacham mincha Yisrael. Wouldn't I have the power to say you can't have this portion of the mincha that you're trying to get? So comes the, in his discussion that he made up, right, the tful yom now comes and says, what are you talking about?
That you're trying to get, no?
No, he's trying to get the mincha. He wants the mincha. After it's going to be the chatat.
Sorry.
Maim dechitani mechatat Yisrael, kashem shipa kochi kach yipa kochacha. When it comes to chatat, we're both in a position of strength. We're equal. In other words, you're trying to say, I'm a position of strength, and then I'm not in a position of strength in the mincha. But really, we both have the same koch when it comes to the chatat, because we can both bring our own chatat and eat it, or get our portion. Therefore, tadcheni mimincha, you think you could push me off from mincha? Shekashem shorak kochi, kach orak kochacha. In other words, you're trying to say, I have the power, and this is why I say it's like dine mamonot, that he's trying to say, you think you have the power to push me off, but you're just as weak as I am when it comes to the mincha. You also can't have a portion of your own mincha. So why are you saying that that gives you more strength over me? Okay, that's the first one. So then he says, so since the Kal V'chomers don't work, Harei Omer LaKohen HaMakriv Ota Lo Tiyeh Bo HaKrev VeEchol. In other words, he says in the end, it says LaKohen HaMakriv Ota Lo Tiyeh. This is basically what this is in the end coming to say is, why by all these psukim does it say the following words? And we're going to see this again in the next section, the next stuff about the skin, the hide, where again it keeps saying this, LaKohen HaMakriv Ota Lo Tiyeh. He's the one who gets it. So if you can be makriv, then you can eat it. But of course, you can't. Okay, next one. Tein li mechatat Yisrael v'ochal. Amar lo. Uma bimkom she'ura kochi b'minchati. Now that we prove the mincha, he says, in a case of the mincha where I'm in a position of weakness. Now he uses his argument, the counter argument, in his favor. He says, look, in a mincha, I'm weak. This is the good kohen talking, the tahor one. And yet, dichiticha mimincha Yisrael. And yet I have the koach to push you off from eating the mincha. So makom shi'ipa kochi b'chatati, in a case where I'm in a position of strength in the chatat, I can bring my own chatat and eat it and get all of it. Ein odin shadichacha mechatat Yisrael. Can I push you off from the chatat? Amar lei. So he says to him, what do you mean? Mayim shidichitani mechat Yisrael. You want to say you were able to push me off mechat Yisrael? Shekashem shura kochacha kach hora kochi. Just like you're in a position of weakness, I'm in that same position of weakness. So let's take it the flip way. Tidicheni mechatat Yisrael. You think you can then push me off from chatat Yisrael? Shekashem shipachochacha kachi pachochi. That's just like you're in a position of strength there. I'm also in a position of strength by the chatat. Okay? And again, right? I have that same strength. So you can't say, oh, I'm better than you. You're not better than me. You might have strength there, but I have that same strength as you. So you can't prove anything. Harei Omer. So again, it brings the pasuk. The good, you know, the Tahor Kohen, HaKohen HaMachate Ota Yochlena. Bo Chate V'Ochel, right? V'Echol. In other words, only if you can be the one doing the Avoda, and you can't. Amarle, Tein Li Mechaze V'Shok V'Ochel. Bring me from the Chaze V'Shok of the Shlamim. Right? The parts that the Kohen gets to eat of the Korban Shlamim that don't go to the owners. Amarle, Uma B'Mkom Shiipak Kochacha V'Chatatcha Dichiticha Mechata Yisrael. We're now back to the first argument. In the case of the chatat, where you're in a position of strength, and yet I can push you off and say I'm not giving you the portion. Makom shu rakochcha b'shlamim, she'en lecha b'hem elecha zeh b'shok. Obviously, you're weaker in the shlamim because you only get certain parts of the animal. You don't get the entire thing. With the chatat, you get all the meat. Here, you don't get all of it. Einu din sh'adichacha, so can I push you off? So now, again, the Tful Yom says to him, Maim d'chitani mechatat, she'ken that's, you push me off from chatat, but that's because not, now all of a sudden we're flipping. Chatat isn't necessarily a position of strength. Chatat also has a weakness. Where's the Kohen weak? He can only eat it himself. He can't give it to his family members. Tidicheni mechazev eshok, sheken yipak kochi etzal nashai v'avadai. Dafke in chazev eshok, I'm in a position of more strength because I can give it to anybody in my family that I want. So therefore, you can't say, the logic saying, chatat, I'm in a position of strength, and you're in a position of strength, and yet I can take away the portion from you. And shlamim, when you're weak, of course I can take the portion away from you, because shlamim is actually more stronger than chatat. So again, harei omer, pasuk, lakohen zorek etam shlamim lo yihyeh. Again, the kohen who zorek the dam, and since obviously a tful yom can't be zorek the dam, it can't go to you. Bo zorek ve'echol, right? Go sprinkle the blood, and then you can eat, but of course you can't. Okay, so that's, so far, sounds like the end. Yatzat Tful Yom Kula V'Chamorah V'Rosho. Okay, the Tful Yom goes out with his Kal V'Chomer is not leading him anywhere. I was thinking about this, how we've had a lot of Kal V'Chomers in this Masechet. It seems to be a common theme. And here, it's a great line of just, his Kal V'Chomers are all Rosho. In other words, they were useless. They didn't do anything for him. Onein Li Mino Mechusar Kapara Mismolo. Right, so he's got, in other words, he left with his kulav chamorav rosho, his onem mimino, and his mechusar kapurim mislamolo. In other words, he got nowhere with any of this. Nobody, he doesn't get to eat anything. In other words, it's not just the tful yom, but it would be the onem. This is the way the vision is. Sorry, I didn't explain it right. The tful yom goes out of the discussion, totally deflated. Obviously, it was a made-up discussion, right? And that's why what he's saying is, and not only the tful yom, but he's got the onem on one side and the mechusar kapurim on the other side, who also would have no argument. They would also not be able to.
Like, this is the company he's in.
Right, exactly. Parach Rav Achai. Okay, so if you thought we were finished, Rav Achai comes and says, what do you mean? He could have said another argument. Lemali could have gone one step farther and said, Tein li mi b'chor v'ochal. He should have said, what about the b'chor portion? Mishum de'amarle, Uma b'mkom shehura kochi b'chatat etzal nashai v'avadai. Now that we have this whole thing that chatat is weaker, so you could say, just like by chatat, where he's weaker, right? Hura kochi, that's my, here now again, who's talking? The Kohen HaTahor says, in chatat I'm weak because I can't give it to all my family members, and yet, dichi ticha mechatat Yisrael. We keep switching. Who's in the position, right? Who's the subject? He's saying, I'm weak, and yet I can prevent you. I have the koch to say, I'm not giving you a portion. Makom shipa kochi bebechor de kule dili. So in a place where I'm a position of strength, because in bechor I get all of the meat, and I can do it, meaning I can give it to my wife and my children. Kule dilehi, ein odin shadechacha mimeni. Mimenu, in other words, can't I therefore push you off from getting the bechor? And now the Tful Yom can answer him back. Umayim dechitani mechatat, shekashem shur, and as you want to say, that you push me off from chatat, but kashem shura kochacha, kachura kochi. It's just like you're weak, I'm also in a position of weakness. And therefore, tidicheni mi bechor, therefore you're going to try to push me off from bechor. This is the same as the first two arguments we had. Shekashem shipa kochacha, kachipa kochi. In other words, I'm in the same position of weakness as you, and I'm also in the same position of strength as you. So that doesn't give you any more strength over me to push me off.
Harei omer, so now the Kohen HaTahor would say, Et amam tizrok al hamizbeach, et chabam taktir, ubisaram yelach.
Okay, these are actually two psukim. There's a few words in between. But he's saying, sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, burn the fats, and the basar will go to you. Which sounds like, okay, we'll see in a minute, sounds like the basar will go to you, the one who did it. So, blech, bo zrok ve'echol.
Ve'idach, so now, what is he going to say, Rav Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who didn't add this case? He would say, parich, you could question that, knock it off and say, and knock out that pasuk, and say that pasuk doesn't prove anything, because miktiv ubisaram lakohen azorek.
It doesn't say so specifically in that case. In all the other cases, it said, la kohena mechateota, or the kohenu this. Here it says, you should do this, you should do that, and the basar will go to you. But it doesn't necessarily mean you means only you, the one who did it. Before it said, la kohena makrivoto, la kohena, right?
So this one doesn't say it, and therefore you could say, afilu la kohena cher.
Okay, now we get to our final question. How did he do this and come up with this whole story in the bathroom? You're not allowed to learn Divrei Torah in the bathroom. You're not even allowed to think Divrei Torah in the bathroom. You're not allowed, not in the Merchatz, not in the Beit HaKiseh, you can't think about Divrei Torah. So how did he come up with this whole thing in the bathroom? Answer, La'on Soshane. This was so much on his mind, and he couldn't help it. In other words, he was so much thinking about it that he couldn't avoid thinking about Torah in the bathroom, right? Halavai, we should all get to this level of we just can't possibly stop our thoughts about the Torah, and therefore it wasn't his fault, and it was okay. Okay. New Mishnah. Now we're going to move on to the hide of the animal. Okay, let's read the whole pasuk. Hakohen makrivet olat ish. Okay, so we're going to darshan this whole pasuk, so let's focus on the words. The Kohen that sacrifices the olah of a person, okay, here it says an ish, a man even, or ha'olah asher kriv, the hide of the olah, which he sacrificed, la kohen lo yihye. Right, asher kriv, so the Kohen who did it, it will go to him. Okay, so what do you see here? The Kohen gets the hide of the Korban Ola. So now we're going to say, any case where the Mizbeach wasn't Zocheh to have the meat burned on it, meaning it became disqualified, if it's disqualified, can't burn the meat, then lo zachu akonim ba'ora. How do we know this? Shenemar, right? Not always does the Mishnah give us the psukim, but here the Mishnah tells us, Olat Ish. Olat she'alta le'ish. Why does it say Olat Ish? To tell us the olah that worked for the ish who brought it. But if it gets disqualified and it doesn't work for him, then the kohen doesn't get the hide, the animal. Olah shenishcheta shelo lishma, af al pi shelo alta lebaalim, ora lekohanim. But now, here's a bit of an exception. If you shechted shelo lishma, which we learned about in olah, it's not disqualified, but it doesn't work for the baalim, but you still sacrifice it, since it went on the mizbeach, even though it didn't work, that you might have thought, olat ish, it has to work for that ish. No, this was an olah that was able to be sacrificed. Because it was able to be sacrificed, the skin still goes to the kohen. Echad olat ha'ish, v'echad olat ha'isha. Okay, don't think olat ish means only ish and not isha. No, even in olat isha, orotehem lakohanim, the kohen gets the hide. Orot kodshim kalim. Okay, so now it only said olah. So now we're going to learn the orot of the kodshim kalim, lebaalim. Okay, so in kochim kalim, when generally the baalim get the meat, they also, the owner of the whoever brought the sacrifice, he gets the meat and he gets the hide. The kohen doesn't get it. But not just in the ola, but in all kochim kochim, then it goes lakohanim. Okay, now how do we know that we get it from all kochim kochim? Again, we're going to have a kal v'chomer, although later we're going to see that there's possibly a few different ways to learn. Kal v'chomer. In the Ola, when the Kohen doesn't get the meat, and yet he gets the hide, like the Chatat, and the Chatat, what happens? The Kohen gets all the meat. So in the case where he doesn't get any of the meat, and the meat all gets burned on the Mizbeach, and yet he gets the hide, of course if he gets all the meat, we're going to assume he gets the hide with the meat. So therefore we're going to learn from Ola by Kal v'chomer to Kodshei Kodshim. Okay? Eino din she'yizku ba'ora. And now they're going to say, well, Eim Mizbeach Yochiach, you might have thought you could knock off this Kal v'chomer, because She'ein lo or b'chol makom. Okay? What's the logic here? The logic is that if you get the meat, then you get the hide. So now they're going to say, well, who gets the meat in the Ola case? The Mizbech. So maybe we should just always say that the meat, the hide goes with the meat. So in a case where the Mizbech Yochiach, that there are cases where you get the meat, but you don't get the hide. Because the Ola, the Mizbech gets the meat, but doesn't get the hide. So therefore, if you want to say, well, in the case where the Kohanim get the meat, they obviously get the hide. You could use the Mizbech to knock it out, because the Mizbech is a case where the Mizbech, right, we're comparing a person to a Mizbech, but the Mizbech gets the meat and doesn't get the hide. So we see they don't always go together. But they say that doesn't prove anything because ein lo or b'chol makom, because the Mizbech never gets the or. Whereas the Kohanim, if they get the or when they don't get the meat, you could still say, right, when they get the meat, they should definitely get the or also. Okay? And you can't prove from the Mizbech because the Mizbech never gets the hide. The hide never gets burned on the altar. Okay, we'll see this also later on. Tana Rabbanan. So now we're going to quote a Braita. Olat Ish prat la olat hekdesh. Okay, the first thing we're going to say is Olat Ish comes to exclude what case? The case of Olat Hekdesh. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see in a minute what's Olat Hekdesh. There's going to be a few different explanations. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Prat La Olat Geirim. Okay, let's hold off on all this. We're going to see now in the Gemara. My Prat La Olat Hekdesh, what does that mean? Excluding Olat Hekdesh. What's Olat Hekdesh? I'm Rabbi Chia Bar Yosi, Prat La Olat Haba Min HaMotarot. Okay, what are the Motarot? This is when you have, we've seen this a number of times, you have Korbanot, that you separate an animal, he gets lost, you then can't find the animal, you bring a different one in its place, and then all of a sudden you find the original animal, you now have an extra animal. So what do? You leave it, it depends what kind of a, or maybe the Baalim died or something happened. Anyway, you now have this extra animal. What we do is we leave it until it gets a mum. Again, depends on which type of animal it is. Then we do pidyon, and then we take that money and we buy korbanot ola with it. And what do we call those olot? They become olot leketz hamizbech. Remember, we want to always have, right, we want to have korbanot going all the time, so we bring those as olot nidava. Okay, so that's called olat hekdesh. It's an ola that comes from the motarot. That ola is not the ola of olat ish. It's the ola of the hekdesh. Belongs to the Beit HaMikdash now. So basically, we're going to say, an ola that comes from there, he doesn't get the meat. That's why olat ish comes to exclude that case. That's if we explain motarot the way I just did, which is motarot go to the nidvat zibur. They become public property. Ela, laman damar motarot lenidvat yachid azle. Some people say that when you redeem it, you take the money, and whose money is it? It's really the money of the original owner. And he buys animals with it, and he brings the animals as olot nidava. Now, he can't bring it for whatever he was trying to bring it for, but he brings it for his own individual. Now it's still an ola of an individual. So how can we explain it if you hold that? My ikala memar. So what can you say if you hold that? Kida amarava ha'ola ola rishona. Hachanami ha'ola ola rishona. So when Rava says in a different case, to remember now what this was, Right, this is by the Korban Tamid. It says, Varach Aleha Ha'ola. We don't know which Ola this is. And they say, oh, it's the Korban Tamid, because Ha'ola with Hey Yidia means the first Ola. Okay? So here also we're going to say, Ha'ola, since it says, or Ha'ola, Sher Kriv LaKohen Lo Yieh, it means the first Ola that was originally designated as an Ola, meaning not an Ola that was originally designated as something else. And here, it's actually a little strange because ha'ola, in the case of Rava, we're saying, the first case Rava brings is saying, what ola are we talking about? It must be the first ola that you bring, which is the tamid that you always bring first. That's tadir v'sheno, tadir kodem. Here we're saying it means it was an ola from the beginning. It's not exactly the same thing as first. First and beginning aren't exactly the same thing. But ha'ola means an ola that was ola from the beginning, not an ola that was replacing something else. Okay? So, So that would explain, even if you say the motarot or nidvat yachid, it would still be excluded from this halakha because that's a case where it was replaced. It wasn't original. It's only when it's originally an ola that it goes to the or goes to the kohen. Rabbi Aibu Am Rabbi Yanai. Okay, here's a second explanation of what this prat lo olat nidavaz. Prat lo olat tekdesh. So one answer was it's the motarot. Now he says, Rabbi Aibu was in the name of Rabbi Yanai, prat le matpis ola lebedek habayit. This is if you say, I'm giving an animal, lebedek habayit. Okay? I'm basically saying, generally when you do something lebedek habayit, we say it only has kedushat damim. When you designate an animal for sacrificing, we usually say it has kedushat haguf, that the body of the animal is sanctified. Okay, which means that you basically have to sacrifice it. But if something has kedushat damim, then generally what we mean is we sell the item and the money goes to the Beit HaMikdash. So in the case where you're matpisin ola lebedek habayit, you say it goes lebedek habayit, then we're going to say that when you bring that as a korban ola, right, then it doesn't go to the kohanim. That's different from just bringing it ola. Now they're going to say, we're going to get into this more. Lo mebaya lamanda amar kod shebedek habayit tafse mi deoraita. We certainly don't need to explain this if you say kod shebedek habayit or tofes mi deoraita. The question is, what if you bring an animal for bedek habayit? Generally, an animal goes to the mizbeach, not the bedek habayit, right? Bedek habayit is for the Beit HaMikdash's money, fun to do different things with. So if you say that kocha bedek habayit tafse mi deoraita, then obviously if you said the bedek habayit, the value of this animal is going to go for sure lebedek habayit, in which case, even if you buy sacrifices with it, of course the or is not going to go to the kohen because it wasn't designated for an olat yachid. Because then it becomes, again, the property of the Beit HaMikdash. But afil lamanda amar lo tafse. But there's some people say it's actually not tofes, okay? Because what they say here, Ula says that if you're makdish and olah lebedek habayit, okay, he says aim ba'ela. This comes up in the Gemara in Tmura, ela ikuv gizbarim bilvad. It's what you have to do is, okay, it means that you sacrifice this animal, okay, you designate this animal for bedek habayit. So he says bedek habayit is lo tofes midoraita. Really, you meant to bring it as a korban. We're going to bring it as a korban, but it's a korban that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to wait. You're going to have any korban has to have its baalim around when you do it. So you're going to have gizbarim that come as, you know, the treasurers or someone representative of the hekdesh. So the only thing you have to do is wait till they come, meaning you don't have to go redeem it because it actually has kedushat haguf and you can sacrifice it. So now they're going to say, even if you say lo tafse, okay, and therefore it gets sacrificed, hanemile basar. That's only referring to the basar, ela, or tafis. But the or, the hide of the animal, that since you're only sacrificing, generally you sacrifice the meat on the mizbeach for the ola, right? The meat gets burned, not the hide. So we basically say, even if you say that that was designated as an ola, the hide was never designated. That for sure goes to bedek habayit, which means that this kohanim don't get it because it goes to the bedek habayit. And that's the case that's an exception to the rule. Okay, now he's going to say like the first explanation we saw. So Rav Nachman just said it's to exclude the Ola Haba Min HaMotarot. So Rav Nuna says to Rav Nachman, Kiman, who do you hold like? Ki Rabbi Yehuda. Kiman ki Rabbi Yehuda? Is it because you hold like Rabbi Yehuda? We don't know yet. No, Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see this in a minute. Ha Hadarbe, didn't Rabbi Yehuda himself change his mind about this? Okay, Ditanya, here we go. Shisha l'nidava. Okay, there's six, if you remember, there's 13 kupot. We learned this in Masechet Shkalim. There's 13 kupot in the Beit HaMikdash. Six of them were for olot nidava. La'olah haba min ha-motarot, which means for these things that we're talking about, for the olot that come from the extra animals. Shelo yihu kohanim zaka'im ba'ora, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says about these olot, I don't think shelo here means because, on account of, it just means, and these olot, the kohen doesn't get the skin, okay, the hide. Now we're going to see, he's going to change his mind about this, which then we're going to show who does it hold like, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yehuda changes his mind. Amar la Rabbi Nechemya, Okay, we're not going to actually see Rabbi Yehuda change his mind, by the way. We're just going to see that Rabbi Nechemya has a retort to what he says, and he doesn't answer him back. So that we assume that means he changed his mind. Amar la Rabbi Nechemya, v'amar la Rabbi Shimon, im ken, bitalta midrasho shel Yehuda HaKohen. If you hold that way, then you canceled out this midrash of Yehuda HaKohen. Ditanya, or it's actually a ditnan. Ditnan, it says, in Masechet Shkalim. Ze midrash darash Yehuda HaKohen. Asham hu, okay, this is a strange pasuk. Asham hu, ashom asham lahashem. Okay, three out of the five words are asham. Okay, asham hu, ashom asham lahashem. Kol sheba mishum chatat, umishum asham, yilakach ba Kol sheba mishum chatat umishum asham, right? Anything that came from on account of a chatat or on account of an asham, we're going to darshan like this. Yilakach bo olot. Habasar lashem, ora lakohanim. Anything that came on an account of that it was a chatat or an asham, and yet it couldn't be brought as a sacrifice, it's one of those motarot. So you should buy olot from it. Now we say, what does that mean? Asham, asham, lahashem. The basar goes lahashem, but the skin, the hide, goes to the kohanim. Because it says asham hu, and then asham, asham, lahashem. It sounds like, on the one hand, it's like an asham, where the skin would go to the kohen. On the other hand, it goes lahashem, so the meat goes to Hashem. Okay, so now, in other words, why does it mean the meat goes to Hashem? Because normally in asham, the meat would go to the kohanim. So this is saying, there's certain situations where in asham, the or would go to the kohanim, but the meat would go to the mizbeach, and that's when an asham becomes an ola. Okay, so what do you see here? That the motarot, the skin goes to the kohanim, according to Rabbi Nechemya, and he knocked out Rabbi Yehuda's shita, so who could you possibly be holding like? Amalei, ela mar b'may mokim la. So Rav Nachman says back to Rav Amnuna, and as Rav Amnuna said to Rav Nachman, who are you holding like Rabbi Yehuda? But Rabbi Yehuda himself changes his mind. So then he says, okay, big shot. So b'may mokim la. So how do you explain it? Amar le mukmina la b'makdish nechasav uked Rabbi Yoshua. I think that it's a third thing. Okay, so we had the b'amin amotorot. We had which now we just knocked out somewhat. We had matpis lebeda kabayit, ola lebeda kabayit. Now we have a third case where you're makdish all your nechassim. And among your nechassim, you have animals. It's a little similar to the previous case, not about the motarot, the one about the matpis ola lebeda kabayit. Because again, you're makdish all your nechassim lebeda kabayit. So now what happens to the animals there? And he says it's like Rabbi Yoshua. So what's this case? Ditnan. Okay, it's a Mishnah in Shkalim also. Hamakdish nechassam vahayu bahem behem motaru yot legabe mizbech. So you say, all of my property is hekdesh. Now, you have animals and you have other property. Scharim unikevot. So you have ruim legabeim zbech, both males and female animals. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, or is it, I don't know if it's Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, scharim yimachru litzorche olot. Okay, the olot can only be from scharim. So the scharim you sell, you take the money and you buy olot. Okay. Nikevot yim kiru letzorchei zivchei shlamim. And the nikevot you sell, and since shlamim can come from nikevot, you sell and you use them for shlamim. Right? You sell it to people who are looking to buy korbanot shlamim. So you sell those animals, they take the animals and buy them, but since you are makdish, you're nechassim, so you have to take the money that you now got from the sale, and what are you going to do with it? Demeim yiplum shar nechassim lebeda kabayit. So this is like we saw before, that you can't split and say, well, the animals will be sacrificed, and the, right? No, you have to sell everything and then take the value and give it to the beda kabayit. Rabbi Yoshua omer, scharim atzmam yikarvu olot, unikevot yimachru litzorchei shlamim, v'yavi b'demeim olot, u'shar nechassim yiplu lebeda kabayit. Okay, so now he says, no, you can actually take all the animals, sacrifice them, sacrifice those in the way they're sacrificed, those the way they're sacrificed, and the rest of your money, whatever else you own, will go to beda kabayit. But when he says that you can be cholek your hekdesh, meaning you can split, when you say, what's the problem? You made one statement, but your one statement now means different things. Some will go to the mizbeach, some will go to beda kabayit. So that's okay, you can do that. What's the problem here? The problem is that you're using those sacrifices for your own purposes, because
Instead of, right, if it goes to Hekdesh, it goes to Hekdesh, and then it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, and they bring their sacrifices with it. But here you're using it for your own sacrifice. But that's okay, according to Rabbi Yeshua. But when he says you can be cholek, meaning some can go for the Mizbech, and some can go for personal, and some can go for the Beit HaKabayit, Hanemile Basar, Aval Or Tafis. But he says that's only that you meant when you said everything, what you really meant was my animals will be sacrificed, my property will go to the Beit HaKabayit. We can say that. But even when you meant your animal sacrifice, you never meant that the hide was going to go on the Mizbeach. So what did you mean here? You didn't mean the hide's going to be with the korban and will go to the Kohanim. No, what you meant was the hides of the animal I want to go to Beit HaKabayit. Meaning it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. And the value of them, they get sold and they put the money into the Beit HaKabayit's money collection thing. But not that it would go to the Kohen. And that's why he says, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, right, obviously, according to the first opinion, the or would go, but that's because these would never get sacrificed anyway. But even the one who says it's going to get sacrificed, that's the case where we have a sacrifice and the or is going to go not to the Kohanim. So that's the third explanation. Now we're going to go back to, okay, that was three explanations of the first opinion. Okay, that's all we've done so far, which is Olat Ish, Prat La Olat, Hekdesh, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have to explain Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who said Prat La Olat, Gerin. What does that mean? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Pratlo Olat Gerim, Amar Rav Simai Bar Chilkai LeRavina, Atu Ger Lav Ishu, and as we know what it means, it means the Ola that a Ger brings. So now we're going to say, what? A Ger is not an Ish? That's a terrible thing. You're saying Olat Ish comes to exclude a Ger? What, a Ger is not a person? Amar Le, Prat LeGer Shemet Ve'en Lo Yorshim. Oh, it's not going to exclude a Ger. The point is, it's a Ger that dies and has no Yorshim. So his, what happens to his property? Remember, it's Hefker. So his sacrifice will go, basically belong to the Tzibor. And because it will belong to the Tzibor, or it will belong to the Beit HaMikdash, it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore it's no longer an Olat Ish. Doesn't have an owner. Tana Rabbanan. Olat Ish, Ein Li Ela Olat Ish. So now we're going to have a braita about this whole drasha. So Olat Ish, it sounds like Olat Ish. Now, the Nusach, the Rashi has, doesn't have the word Gerim, so we're going to skip that right now. Olat Nashim Ba'avadim Minayin. How do we know to include, right? Because if we say we include the Ger, that would go against this second opinion, but you could say maybe it's the other opinion. Anyway, the Olat of Nashim Ba'avadim, how do we know that it's included? Tamu Lomar or Ha'ola Riba. Okay, so again, now we're going to really darshan this pasuk. It says, HaKohen HaMakrivit Olat Ish or Ha'ola. It doesn't have to say or Ha'ola. It could have just said or Ha'or. Okay, and why did it say or ha'ola? That must come to include other people, not just the ish, also the ish nashim and avadim. So riba imken matamulomar olat ish. So then, what is olat ish coming to tell you? Which we already learned this olash al tal ish, right? It's ola that worked. Prat l'shenishchata chutz l'zmana v'chutz l'mkoma comes to exclude a pigul case. Shelo yuhu kohanim zakeim ba'ora. In that case, the kohanim will not get the hide if the korban got messed up. They don't get the hide. Yachol shani, which maybe, here it's interesting, and maybe it's a way of penalizing the Kohen. We were looking for this when we learned about Pigel. What do you mean? The Kohen, right?
Is responsible,
and right, he's not right.
So he doesn't, he's penalized.
So in this case, he's penalized. He doesn't get the ore. It's interesting. Yachol shani marbe shenishchata shelo lishma. You might have thought I would also then include something shenishchata shelo lishma. Ho'il v'lo al talabalim. We already saw this, right? Again, we saw this. All this is because now we're bringing this long brayta. So in the context of that, we're going to repeat a little bit. Lo yuk kohanim zakeim bo'ra. You might have thought since it didn't work for the balim, maybe the kohanim wouldn't get the or if it was done shelo lishma. Tamud lomar or ha'ola mikol makom. Again, we're going to use this or ha'ola. It's interesting. They're using it twice to include nashim and avadim. It's also coming to include even shenishchat shelo lishma. Or ha'ola. So now if you're going to say or ha'ola, en liela or ha'ola. So notice the pasuk was very, very specific that it only applies to an ola. Oro koche kochim minayin. How do we know the oro koche kochim? So now we're going to see three different explanations to this issue. Okay, we saw in our Mishnah took one approach, which was a kavachomer. Right? They said, remember the kavachomer? It said, you know, let's not read it inside now because we're going to see it in another 2 minutes. So let's just keep going. But in a minute, we'll see. There's a Kal Vachomer. But here, they're going to learn it from a different place. The Tanakami here says, Tamud Lamar or Ha'ola Asher Hikriv. It says Asher Hikriv, which sounds like Hikriv can include any sacrifice, not just an Ola. Yachol Shani Marbe Af Kochim Kalim. So if we're going to include any sacrifice, why don't we include also the Kochim Kalim, which we said, Kochim Kalim, the skin goes, since the meat goes to the owner, the hide also goes to the owner. Tamalomar Ola. Ma, therefore, they're going to say, that's why it says Ola. We're going to say Ma Ola Kotche Kotchim Af Kol Kotche Kotchim. We're only going to learn things that are similar to an Ola, which is Kotche Kotchim. So we're basically going to say, right, we're including something else, but we're not including, we're not going to go so far as to include Kotchim Kalim also. That's the first answer. So it comes from a drasha from the Pasuk, Asher Hikrif. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Or Ha'ola, En Li'ala Ha'ola, Oro Kotche Kotchim Minayin, same question. Vidinu, he's going to bring the same Kavachomer we saw in our Mishnah. Uma ola shelo zachu b'vsara zachu ba'ola. In an ola, they don't get the meat, and yet they get the hide. Kotche kotchim shezachu b'vsara, and ain odin shezachu ba'oran. Right? So when you have kotche kotchim, if you're going to get the basar, all the more so, you should get the hide. Now we're going to have this mizbeach yochiach. Now they're going to say, no, you cannot get your kavachomer, because we can say mizbeach yochiach shezacha ba'basar velo zacha ba'or. Here we have a case where you get the meat, and yet you don't get the skin, meaning the mizbeach gets the meat burned on it, but never gets the hide burnt on it. So they say, no, that doesn't knock out the kavachomer. Why? This is basically what it said in our Mishnah, but it's explaining better. Man lemizbeach shaken lo zacha b'miktzat. Tomar b'konim shezachu b'miktzat. The mizbeach never, ever gets any little bit of the hide. The hide never gets burned. So that is different from, and it's koanim are different because zachu b'miktzat. They at least get it in the korban ola, they get the hide. Once we know they get the hide in one place, ho'il v'zachu b'miktzat, zachu b'kulei. Since they get the hide in one case, we're going to assume they get the hide in any case. Whereas, so you can't use the mizbeach to disprove it because the mizbeach doesn't ever get the hide. Okay, Rebbe Omer, so then we have one explanation that came asher ikriv. The second explanation is this kavachomer that we already saw in our Mishnah. Third explanation is Rebbe. Kol atzmo lo hutzrachnu ela le'or ha'ola bilvad. Shebechol makom ha'or mahalech achar ha'basar. The pasuk is only, and we're darshing this pasuk only about the or. Meaning, all of them agree about the same thing. They all agree that kotche kotchim, they get the or. But what he's saying is, you don't even need a pasuk to discuss that. The reason the pasuk came up by Ola is because that's the only case where you would need to tell us that he gets the or. Why? Shebechol, what's unique about the Ola? Bechol makom ha'or mahalech achar ha'basar. All situations, the or follows the meat. Right? If you're shlamim, the meat goes to the owner and the or goes to the owner. If you're chatat, the meat goes to the kohen and the hide goes to the kohen. Everything, the or always goes with the meat, except for which case? The ola. In other words, basically, there's no chidush. Of course, wherever the meat goes, the hide goes. The chidush, and that's why the pasuk specifically talked only about the ola, because there you needed it to tell us. So basically what he's saying is, you don't need a drasha to tell you about kotche kotchim. Kotche kotchim is obvious that the kohenim get the or, and it's obvious that kotche kalim, the kohenim don't get the or. So the only question is the ola, and for that we needed the pasuk. So I'll read it from the beginning again. Kol atzmo, that means the whole pasuk itself, lo tzrachnu ela l'or ha'ola. This whole halacha was only needed for the or ha'ola bilvad. Shebechol makom ha'or malech achar basar. He'll give you some examples now. Parim anistrafim, this I didn't say. The parim that we burn and the sirim anistrafim, remember all the ones that the blood is inside, we burn them outside. Hein v'orotehem nistrafini mahem. We know that their skin gets burned with them, with the meat. Chatap asham v'zibchei shlamim, right? Sibor v'zibchei shalmei tzibor matana l'kohen. Right? Ratzu mafshitin oto, lo ratzu ochlin oto. That he could do whatever he wants with them. He could take off the, he could do with the hefshet and have the orange, do what he wants with it. He can eat it with it if he wants, whatever he wants to do. Ochlin otan al gabe oran. Right? He can eat it with the or. Kochim kalim the baalim. Kochim kalim go fully to the baalim. Ratzu mafshitin oto, ratzu ochlin oto al gabe oran. They could do anything they want with them. Obviously, the or follows them. Aval ola ne'amar baviv shita ta'olav and atacho talinitachea. With the ola, it specifically says you have to take off the or. Yacholo yuhu ha-konim zakeim ba'ora. So you might have thought, maybe the konim don't get it. Tambud lomar, or ha'ola shirikriv lo yihye. Okay, so therefore it says, right, or ha'ola, therefore it says or ha'ola. Sorry, I think it's just tambud lomar or ha'ola. Okay, therefore it teaches you that in order to tell you that it's specifically there. Or ha'ola shirikriv. Okay. Lo yihye. Now we're going to talk about the end of that pasuk, okay? So we had so far, ha-kohen ha-makriv et olat ish, we darshan that, or ha-ola, we darshan a few different ways. Asher hikriv, now we also darshan, right? Which means any korbanot, according to one of the explanations, which come to include kotche kotchim. Now, what about this lo yihye? What is lo yihye coming to teach you? Prat l'tvul yom, to him it will go, right? To him it will go, sounds like only to him, not to somebody else. Who's it coming to exclude? The tvul yom,
and possibly whether you read this or not, right? The Mechusar Kippurim and the Onen. Sheyacholo Yizkuba Basar Shehu La'achila. But Yizkuba Or She'eno La'achila. You might have thought, it's true they don't get the meat, but maybe they could get the hide, because why don't they get the meat? Because they can't eat the meat, remember? They're Tameh, they're Onen. You're not allowed to eat the meat. So maybe that's why you don't get a portion. But maybe with the Or, since it's not meant for eating, you would think maybe they would get it. Tamud Lomar Lo Yehiyeh. Okay. Now we're going to go back to the Tanakam in this Braita. Okay, remember, we have three opinions. Tanakam, we learned it from the Pasuk Asher Ekriv. So we're going back to Tanakama. Nami Tepukle Medina. Why didn't he use the Kavachomer of Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael had a pretty good Kavachomer. Why did he? Now, interestingly, the Gemara doesn't ask why didn't the third opinion use the Kavachomer, but that's because he really doesn't need it. He thinks the whole thing. Okay, but Tanakama, why didn't he use the Kavachomer of Rabbi Yishmael? So he answers, Milta da'ati b'kavachomer, tarach v'katav lakra. We have this many times. That sometimes you have something that was learned out in a kavachomer, but in any case, it's always better, and this is also in the context of all these kavachomers and this whole masechet, they're trying to tell you, sometimes you can always knock out kavachomer somehow with some logic. We've seen that many times, as we saw in the beginning of today's daf. And therefore, better to write it in the pasuk, even though really you could have had the kavachomer, just in case someone would ever knock it out. The Rabbi Yishmael, Hay Asher Hikriv my Avidle. So what does Rabbi Yishmael do with the Asher Hikriv that the Tanakama Darshan to teach us Kodshe Kodshim? Prat L'Tvul Yom U'Mechusar Kippurim Va'onen. So he says that comes to exclude the Tvul Yom U'Mechusar Kippurim Va'onen. But that's a little weird because Tepuklemi Lo Yehiyeh. Didn't we just say Lo Yehiyeh comes to exclude that? So why do you need Asher Hikriv? Asher Hikriv means the one who sacrificed, meaning it can't include the Onen and Tvul Yom. But we also said Lo Yehiyeh comes to do that. So we say, Rabbi Yishmael l'ta'ame, he goes l'shitato, da'am Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yishmael, ne'amar ba'ola lo yehiyeh, v'ne'amar ba'asham lo yehiyeh. He's now going to make a gzerah shava. Remember gzerah shava, right? It's not a logical inference. It says same words in one place and the same words somewhere else. We're going to learn that what's true for one is true for the other. What's the rule about knocking out a gzerah shava? You can knock it out only if you say, well, this doesn't make sense. It's only if it's not mufne. Remember what that means? If it's not, it has to be, if you can say that pasuk is needed for something else, then you can knock out the gezerah shava. But if the pasuk is really coming for no other purpose, you can't really think of any other reason. It's called, it's mufne, it's free. If it's free and available, then you can't knock out the gzera shava. So that's what we're going to see here. So we're now going to say there's a gzera shava that we can learn from Asham to Ola. Ma lahalan atzmotav mutarin, avkan atzmotav mutarin. We saw this before. Since the Asham, the atzamot, are mutar to the Kohen, also the Ola, the atzamot, are mutarin. Why do we have to tell us this? Because generally, the Ola entirely gets burned. But what we're learning is, if you have atzamot left, they can actually use the atzamot to make kelim, for whatever they want, they can use the bones of the animal. Even though the whole thing's supposed to get burnt, it's really the meat. Now they're going to say, and that's what he uses lo yehiyeh for, and that's why lo yehiyeh is not panoi to teach us, tful yom chutar kippurim and onen are excluded. Therefore, he uses asher kriv to exclude them, which the other Tana, the Tanakama, had used that to teach kodshe kodshim. They use it, Rabbi Yishmael uses it, to teach, to exclude the tful yom chutar kippurim and onen, and lo yehiyeh, which the other Tana used, he uses for this gzerah shav. So now they're going to say mufne. And you have to say, though, that pasuk is mufne, is available. Those words, lo yehiyeh, is free. De'i lo mufne ikal mifrach, because otherwise you can knock it out and say what? Mala asham shkem sarom mutar. Right? You could say, but the asham, you could say the atzamot mutarim, because the meat is mutar. So if the meat's mutar, obviously the bones are going to be mutar. But when it comes to the ola, maybe that wouldn't be the case. Maybe logic would state that it's not, and therefore you could have knocked it out, and therefore lo yehiyeh yikra yeterahu. Therefore they conclude that lo yehiyeh, it must be an extra pasuk.